Thank you for coming. I'm sitting over here for the Zoom camera. Makes it difficult to see you all, but we're trying to compromise here for we'll try this out. Robin, you want to say lead
Yes.
us in this Pledge of Allegiance?
You stand if you're able for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Call the meeting to order. We have a quorum present. I believe Eloise is participating by Zoom. All the other directors are in the boardroom.
And Daniel, I'm going to pass the clipboard around so people may sign in. We'd like to know who you are. If you've already done it, you can just skip it. But we've got more people here than no signatures.
Thank you. Okay, we only have two items on our agenda today. We're going to address the breach of contract issues with HTA and the comments and information that Scott had about the attorney. So, first issue, and probably most important, which caused the board to file the breach of contract claim, is that we're trying to get documentation through the court process that we're not given by HTA directly. And so due to the lack of clarity and inconsistency in reporting, HTMD requested substantiation for the $1.2 million it reimbursed HTA in 2023 for wages and benefits. HTA's CEO and CFO counted one employee as a full-time district employee at the budget workshop, but also said that some of his hours were charged out to HTMD later in the process. So the district is billed through full-time employees and in part-time hours. The full-time employees are what we were asking about, specifically in the golf department. And we just had difficulty getting the correct number and the job positions. There was enough confusion about it that the CEO and CFO said they'd look into it that night and come back the next morning. We would deal with the headcount there. So that's what happened, and they still didn't get good numbers. We have a legal responsibility to see how your money is being spent. The wages and benefits that we're asking about, this amount of money, is 40% of our entire expenses for the district. This is important that we know that it's reasonably spent and properly spent. And you have the right to know that. We have a legal right to know that by law.
Yes.
That's our primary purpose. We will get these documents through discovery, which is the early part of the lawsuit, and the court will order them. Rita, you want to take the second issue?
Do I need to use this?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, the second issue, can you hear me?
No.
Does that one work?
There you go.
The second issue is to maintain funds belonging to the district in a separate account containing only funds of other government entities as required by Colorado law. HGMD requested that directors from 2019 and Kelvin, oh, this was another issue, the directors from 2019 and Kelvin Eddie White be removed from HGMD bank accounts on July 19th, 2023 and in subsequent meetings. They were still on the bank accounts as of a week or two ago, along with a lot of other people that even go back farther than 2019, some did. We are correcting the situation. The maintain funds belonging to the district in a separate account has been a major controversial thing ever since I can remember. HGA collects the rec fee, which right now is about $60 average a month. They leave it in their operating account and they pay our bills out of it.
Question back here.
No. You're not interrupting.
Not quite. At the end, we'll have a public comment and you can ask a question. And if you need a little card to write it down so you don't forget, please feel free to get up and get a little card. Thank you.
Go ahead, Rita.
Okay, they collect roughly, I think it's $147,000. We do not see a reconciliation statement for that $147,000. You know, we get financial statements, but we do not have a check register that says $1,000 went here. Just recently, and like yesterday, I did get one of those lists. They still maintain the money in the HGA operating account. We would like it in the HGMB operating account so that we know that we are spending this money as opposed to reimbursing HGA for spending what they consider their money because it's in their operating account. It's really a simple fix, I think, but it hasn't been done in all these years, and it would be a lot easier for us to track. For instance, we haven't had our profit and loss statements since September. They're just starting to come out. I did get November's, but I can't track how much we've spent this year on capital expenditures. You know, we are spending some money and we're doing it on purpose, but I can't track it yet. So doing it the other way, having all of those rec fees in one operating account, just HGMD, would be a great benefit, much, much easier for us. And it shouldn't be a real problem for them.
And state statute requires that we keep track of our budget, what the budgeted amount is, how much of the budgeted amount we spent to date, where we're at, and so that we have the balance.
And that then brings us to the next item, which is show that they've been paid. In the past, there was a joint audit finance committee. And they would meet at the end of every month and reconcile all of the checks. There's usually about 125 with all of the money. But that HGMD never had that kind of reconciliation, which is what we would like to have. Now, this is just since November, December, finally, I do come in and look at the invoices before they're paid. This is a brand new thing. I've just been doing that for the last month or two. Always before they're paid, we don't know what's paid. So I'm looking at them. I'm hoping to do an audit or some kind of a subcommittee, that I'm not the only one. Right now, I'm just the only one. Then we will know what they are before they're paid. And after they're paid, we should get a check register, and compare them. That's what we're asking for. And it's pretty important to be able to check that against the financial statements.
So, Frank, do you want to take the contracts?
What this?
Yeah, this is regarding the performance of the contracts department. HGA requested a capital expenditure for the purchase of an outdoor freezer, which we approved, only to discover that the freezer wasn't a freezer, but a cooler. It didn't include installation or removal of the old freezer, and it would have been sitting on a concrete pad, which was the wrong size. The HEA CEO had a spending authority of $20,000 when CEO John Ray said he could proceed with budgeted projects without approval. The district lowered his spending authority to $2,500. The following day, the contracts manager signed a contract for $46,650 without district approval. HGA scheduled the refinishing of the auditorium floor without any contract at all and a proposal, which was over a year old, and no competitive bids were obtained. Now on to the Comcast contract. May 18th, HGA CEO John Ray was asked about a project to install a key card locks on the clubhouse exterior doors. He confirmed that the public would state their business and be buzzed in. HGA President Jill Bacon confirmed the plan. HGMD notified HGA and their attorney several times that it would not approve or pay for the project unless it was involved due to serious legal issues with the plan. HGA sold bonds, which stated that the clubhouse had a public purpose and would be open to the public. HGA continued to move forward until HGMD notified Comcast that HGA did not have authority to enter into a contract regarding the clubhouse. Last year, CEO John Ray signed a multiple-year contract with Comcast to install fiber optic cable to the RV lot without HGM notice. Special districts cannot contract for future years. I might add that the RV committee has installed lights and cameras, and so the fiber optic cable is not necessary to the lot. And, oh, I still got it.
No, that's me. So I want to tell you what the real cost of that project was and why we were putting our foot down and worked so hard to get it stopped before we could get involved and get the information. HGA CEO John Ray told me directly that the $80,000 was budgeted for that key card access project. Therefore, it was approved and they were going forward. And it didn't matter what we said. It is not approved. And when items are budgeted, they're usually budgeted for more money than we expect it to actually cost. We try to make sure we have enough money appropriated because by law, the district cannot spend more money than it's appropriated. It's different than how HGA works. So you're padding that amount for budget purposes. But after that, when management wants to move forward with one of those projects, they have always prepared a capital expenditure request. And that's the form that we were looking at that Craig was talking about with the freezer purchase. So it's a, kind of a summary sheet. It says what the capital project's for, how it's going to be paid, how it'll be done. And that's prepared by management. They usually put it on top of proposals that we've received. And then it's signed off. It's signed off by department heads and the manager, comes to the board, and then the board approves that. So this is the part of the project that John Ray is telling us we're skipping right past. The Dark Horse bid to provide the key card locks is over $87,000. But what they don't tell you is that the locks don't work without fiber optic cable. Therefore, we have to install fiber optic cable to the clubhouse. The bid to install the fiber optic cable just to the clubhouse alone is $56,000. So that's a total cost of $143,000. And that doesn't include the monthly internet costs that we have to pay. Plus, there's monthly costs to Dark Horse, the company that installs the locks, for their software to monitor that. The justification for the project was that the ladies at the front desk don't feel secure. In 2008, HG Security operated just fine with five officers and had for years. In 2016, the number of security officers was increased to 6 so that we could have 2 officers on the weekends during the church services. That was the purpose of it. And that one of those 2 officers, when they started that, stayed in the lobby of the clubhouse all day long. We even had a situation where there was a call. It took security a while to get there, and we had talked to the SEC about it, saying, why did it take so long, you know, to get to the next building over? And their justification was that the second officer that was here for the church services all on the weekends had to stay in the clubhouse unless it was an emergency. So they were waiting for the officer that was patrolling to go to the other building. So that was the plan. That's how it works, and that's the justification for increasing the number of officers. In 2017, an additional officer was added so that we could have 2 officers patrolling at night. And that was something that was, you know, was justified just for that purpose and to have more support. That was, they said it was recommended by Aurora Police. But over time, it seems that people forget the original justification and for adding those positions. And then over time, those people aren't doing that anymore. Now, you know, now there's nobody in the clubhouse. They're both patrolling. We now have 9 security officers. At least 2 on duty at any one time. So I suggested at our last meeting that we once again station 1 of the 2 officers that are working in the clubhouse as a reasonable alternative to spending $143,000 to lock the doors. That came back with comments that if we do that, we have to add more people. And every time that we try to deal with HGA and we're saying, these are services you performed in the past, you're not performing anymore. We have more and more employees. We keep adding employees, but they seem to be doing less. So when we try to say, let's do this or reallocate somebody here, or this would be a better use, It's attacked like we have to add more people and we need to increase the budget then. We don't think that's the case. Just as when Evelyn's position was justified in 2019, we added that position and we got, and there was a lot of people that complained about that too, because it's adding another position to administration. And it was justified by saying she was going to be the assistant to both boards. She would serve both boards. Well, Evelyn's not the administrative assistant anymore. She's been promoted. And now there's an assistant. But there's still not enough time, apparently, to provide our administrative services. And Robin, I'll let you talk about that.
Okay. When I came on board to the board, I didn't know I was going to be the secretary to do minutes, packets, board postings, etc. I also thought that I didn't have to use my own printer, computer, copier, toner, all these things, because those services are behind that door. I even have a mailbox in there that I have not seen. I don't know the key code to get in. And as far as the minutes go, only the regular meetings of HGMD are provided to us. So I know that those things were accessible to the former board. And all of a sudden we come on and we don't have access to these things. It is a cost because all that I need is behind there, but I'm doing it at home in my home office. So I am looking at the cost of my toner, the cost of my paper. And I'm volunteering a lot of that, not charging the district. So that's in the management agreement to perform the functions of administrative services. And that's something we are not getting. And I just want you to imagine you got a new job and you come to work and you're locked out of your office. That's how it's been for the administrative services and this board. Thank you.
On January 11th, both boards had a joint public meeting. That meeting was initially requested by HMD to occur on June 21st. Since that time, HGMD has negotiated with HGA with two-on-two meetings through their attorneys and during formal mediation. During all those discussions, and despite being specifically asked, HGA has refused to acknowledge that HGMD has any oversight authority, despite the plain language of the management agreement, which states that HGA acts as the district's agent to manage the district properties subject to the district's policies, budgeting, finance, and oversight. Robin, you want to take the next?
HGA has argued that HGMD has increased the workload for staff. That is simply not true, especially when you consider the administrative tasks that HGA performed in 2018 when the management agreement was signed. Regardless, HGMD needs administrative services that HGA says it's unable to perform because its staff is too busy. Certainly, the community doesn't want HGMD to do less work because HGA is busy. If HGA is unable to meet the district's needs, HGMD will need to hire employees directly to provide those services.
I want to address the issue that has been raised about the attorney's fees. And HGA put out a flyer first of December, signed by the entire board, that talked about attorney's fees and how they've increased since we were elected. I prepared a flyer in response to that. And when people complain about that flyer being distributed through the ARO and through the buildings, because it is all traditionally, it violates the covenants to do that. When we campaigned last March, when we started, HGA was not shy about putting out a Polara notice right away saying these are the rules for distributing political signs and flyers. You know, you can't do it. You can't put them in the common area. They can't be seen from the common areas of the residential buildings. So we didn't do that. So the HGA flyer went out and was distributed. I got one, widely distributed through the community. When Betty Bergeron was questioned about that, she stated, she actually put an article, it's in Heather and Jan, saying that, well, anybody could have a flyer posted if they want to. And if ours wasn't posted when we were campaigning, it's because we didn't ask. Well, of course, that's not true. But so I did a flyer that's in direct response to the HGA flyer. And I sent it to Betty Bergeron and asked her to post it. Please post it at the top, just like the HGA flyer did. And I got an email back refusing to do that because right after, apparently, they posted the HGA flyer, they changed their rules and decided they're not going to do that anymore. So we have the flyer here. It's posted, it's on the table. We put it in our board package because I want to explain about the accusations that we have raised these legal fees. And I'll tell you that more people have approached me about this, about legal fees, and people that are upset and want to sign the recall petition have done so because of the legal fees, is what they're telling me, not because of the issues on the petition. So this is important. I know everyone hates attorneys. I'm an attorney, I get it all the time, I understand. I said at one of the public meetings, we know that the, you know, Jurassic Park movie, the first guy the dinosaur ate was an attorney, and everybody cheered and laughed. So I get it. But there are times that we don't have any choice. First of all, we have an attorney who specializes in special districts and knows specifics about that area. Secondly, when an opposing attorney contacts us, we have to respond back to that attorney. So if the HGA attorney is filing a complaining through email with our attorney, that's how we have to respond back. When somebody's represented by an attorney, you're not allowed to circumvent that and talk with them personally. And that was invoked at our very first, I think that I had a letter from HGA attorney on June 8th that said we can only, all correspondence with HGA had to go through CEO John Ray. So that's what we were doing since that time. Other times, the attorney said no longer could management John Ray contact our attorney, which we found out he had been doing, asking legal advice. And so some of those fees that were incurred were requests from management that we didn't know about. But for the $74,000 that was reported in the HGA flyer in December, saying that those are the legal fees that we've incurred since we were elected, $18,920 of that was incurred prior to May 18th, which was our very first board meeting and the first time we took any action. $4,900 of that was due to the May election and audit of that election. Part of the expense for the election, when we were elected, the total cost of that election was around $43,000. When you add up the cost of the designated election official, the company that ran the actual election, they're the ones that get the mailing list, mail out the ballots, collect the ballots, count the ballots. For everything they do, we get billed. For everything, every time they ask our attorney for advice on how to do something related to the election, we get billed. So most of that had been paid prior to that, but of the $74,000, $4,900 was due to the election. $27,860 exactly, was incurred for negotiations with HGA or questions from HGA that came through the attorney that our attorney was required to answer back through their attorney. So, and as we said before, our attorney was attending the board meetings. They had historically done that. We're probably not going to do that in the future to save some of the costs, but up to that time, that's how it had been handled. The district's attorney came to all the meetings. So by us having to have multiple meetings, we have had consistently at least two meetings a month, because we were being required to do formal board actions to get anything done. And so we would have to have a special meeting, make a motion, vote on it, and then take that to management in order to get something done without waiting an entire month. And we just couldn't operate waiting an entire month for some of these items. Were just too important. So, and then $9,769 of those fees were incurred at the request of management. We had a security incident they wanted us to take action on. We did. We excluded somebody from the properties for a year for violating the rules. That was at management's request. That cost us almost $9,800 in attorney's fees. So when you look at those fees and you deduct all those amounts that are attributable to other things, the balance is $12,000, $600. Those are the attorney's fees that we incurred for just doing business, our normal everyday business of the district. That is less money than the prior board incurred in the first 5 months. That's because we're saving money. I'm preparing our contracts myself. We're not having those reviewed. We had a standard contract prepared that I prepared, and we had the attorney review that. Now we can use that contract for every contract we do. So we probably have 4 or 5 contracts we've entered into since then that have been at no cost to the district. We did hire a litigation attorney and file a breach of contract complaint in December against HDA. The reason we did that was because we had no response. We've been negotiating for 6 months. I stated how we did that. We did the 2-on-2 meetings. We did negotiations through the attorney. Then we did formal mediation. We did not get any proposals. We made proposals. We went to mediation with 2 options initially. We got nowhere. We have been negotiating since September 1st to split the employees, whether we did it just for management purposes or whether we did a complete split where the district directly hired the employees. That's what we've been negotiating on since September 1st. So we get to the point where we think we put a lot of time and effort into that from September 1st to November 19th, I think, was our mediation. And to get to that point and then say, never mind, we didn't mean it, we don't want to do that anymore. So we went back to square one. That's why the mediation wasn't successful. We didn't accomplish anything because we weren't even at the same starting point. So the only proposal we got was to start the leadership meetings again, which at the time, they were the HDA president and me and John Ray, the CEO. Well, since Jill Bacon, who was president at the time, already said she wouldn't talk to me, which she didn't, it's kind of a one-sided meeting. So it was a waste of time. HDA has said that I refused to attend those. And that's simply not true. The first one I didn't even know about. I didn't know they had them. I didn't know when they occurred. So when I brought that up, the second one, I was told about it the night before, and I had clients scheduled all day. My calendar gets booked ahead of time. I can't just find out the night before that there's a 9:30 meeting in the morning. I'm long at work by then. So the second one, I did get invited to. I didn't know where it was. I actually came here, found out it was on Zoom. So, but I made it in time. I raced to my office. I made it on time. We had the meeting. I didn't get any answers, but I said what the issues were at the time. I didn't see where, and then I never got another invitation after that. These meetings are conducted by Zoom. I can't just show up. When they have them, I get an invitation from Evelyn, and it's got the Zoom link to it. I never got another one. Another time, one of the meetings, I guess once a month, those meetings, they included the vice presidents. So at one point, I got an email that's from Holly that said, that link doesn't work. Try this one. And I looked at it. Link to what? So I respond, link to what? It was the leadership meeting. Of course, by the time I see the link, it's 11 a.m. and the meeting was at 9:30. Eloise said she didn't get the original link either. So we weren't invited. That's why we didn't attend. And that's what happened. We never had another I've never gotten another invitation after that. So that was the end of the leadership meetings. I didn't think that that was going to resolve anything, because the issue was not that HGA didn't know what we wanted to do. The issue was that they were refusing to do it. So having another meeting where we can tell them what we want wasn't going to resolve the problem. So there was a lot of talk about what the tops are of the recall. Martha Carnot told the audience at Saturday's meeting on the 27th that none of the costs of the recall are attributable to her, because she's not charging for her services. Well, that's simply not true. Every time Martha emails the designated election official or calls her, the district gets billed. We get billed. If a question comes up about, and it comes from Martha, say, about what at the process, or an issue comes up, Public Alliance, the DEO, contacts the district's attorney, our attorney. So we get billed by Public Alliance, and we get billed by our attorney for every one of these questions. Every time the petition went, and the petition got disallowed for false statements, we got billed. The revised petition went through. Yeah, we got billed again. So the costs so far that we've incurred are just under $9,000 is what we've actually been billed for. We haven't gotten a bill from Public Alliance yet for December. And of course, those costs keep going up. We have a bid to conduct the recall election from Public Alliance, and the bid is for $30,000 without the impending protest. We know there's going to be a protest. So once the petitions are filed with the designated election official, that's when parties have 15 days to file a protest. When that happens, the designated election official sets a hearing with the district court. So those times stop till the district court decides the issue. That's going to cost money. The DEO is going to bill us. The HGMD attorney is going to bill us for that time. And we don't have any control over any of those costs. The district's attorney, our attorney, does not ask us about any of that, because we're the subject of the recall. So she doesn't talk to us about the recall at all, to the point where we didn't even get information that we actually should have about the process and how it works. So she's the one deciding how much research she does or what she does to answer those questions from the DEO.
I think you should open it for questions now.
Yeah.
Start ready.
Yeah, I think we're.
Does any other director have any statements about the lawsuit or the legal fees? Eloise, I know you're out on Zoom. Did you have any comments? Okay. Hearing none, it is time for public comment. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes. Each resident may speak once on a topic. Directors may request or allow a rebuttal statement if appropriate. And I do want to mention, if you have a question that doesn't get answered, it may be that we're not going to respond to that. You can always go to our HGMD website, go to contacts, and put your question there, and we'll be glad to get back to you. I do want to emphasize that public comment time is not a dialogue with the board. That is not the purpose of public comment. Craig, comment?
Name and and address.
Name and building or unit where you live, not unit, but building and area where you may live is always appreciated. Thank you.
We're going to hear from Mike first. He has his hand up first.
Okay, Mike.
I see you on Zoom. We'll get to you. Mike had his hand up first, so we're going to come up to the microphone.
I'm Mike Pula, building 243. I'm also on the HGA board. And I'd just like to...
I don't think we're going to hear you. Try to get closer.
Yeah, but it looks on. Mike
Pula, 243, and I'm also on the HGA board. And as everybody might expect, the HGA board has a different opinion on many of the issues that have been discussed today and in the past. We believe there are many misleading statements and in some cases, totally inaccurate claims. We do not feel it would be beneficial to get into a back and forth discussion in this forum today. The HGA board will be holding an open meeting on February 9th, at which time we will be addressing these disputes as well as what we feel are additional important aspects of our differences. The HGA board continues to hope that everyone will look forward and try and reach solutions that are for the benefit of the Heather Gardens community.
Can I ask a question? The date and the time and location of the meeting, please.
February 9th at 1 o'clock, and we're not definitively sure of the location where it'll be the we'll be in the auditorium.
And this is HGA board hosted meeting. Thank you.
Don't we have a joint meeting on the 8th?
February 8th. We have a joint meeting with the HGA board on February 8th. That'll be in the auditorium also. It's 3 p.m. Okay, we have somebody up on Zoom. It must be very objective. It says HGMB's worst nightmare.
That's the reason I asked for name and address.
I know who that is up there.
Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, your name and your building number, please.
Now I know who it is.
My concern is over this is that I'm hearing a pompous windbag.
Can hear you.
Double talk. Yeah, I hear double talk. I hear almost contradictions in what he's saying. Basically, I would say pay off your bonds and get rid of HGMD. You cannot have two heads run one body. It is impossible. Each board should be odd number of members to break ties. My suggestion is get rid of HGMD. Pay off the bonds, get rid of HGMD.
And what's your name?
Name and building, please.
That's a matter of private information. You don't need to know that.
Okay.
It sounds like David Kennedy.
Thank you. Thank you, Anonymous. I'll put you in my notes as Anonymous.
Okay, Vivian. Go ahead.
Okay, I just unmuted. I would like to know if this meeting is recorded and how soon will people be able to watch? I feel like a lot of folks don't get to hear both sides and it's difficult for people to make a good informed decision without being able to understand what each side is saying. And I'm Vivian Peterson, Building 250.
Thank you. Yes, the meetings are recorded. I put them on our website as soon as I get them from management. I do need to get with them today. It's been quite a while since I've got the recordings. As soon as I get them, I put them on the website. So
what's your estimate about how soon this recording would be available?
As soon as they send it to me.
Does that happen in a week? Does it happen in a month? What are we looking at?
I think I've gotten recordings in a month at least.
Daniel, this is Ellen. If I may, can I answer that? I can have it on the website after the meeting, and when it's done processing, I'll forward it to Daniel, but I'll also post it on our HGA website.
Okay, that's great. And I don't know if you all know this regarding your HGMD website. I'm having a lot of trouble getting links to come up. I'll be able to pull something up and then I'll want to go back to it maybe 10 minutes later and I get a message that it's not available. And this is happening all across your website. And maybe you need to look at your server not being up all the time, like going up and down. I don't know what's going on there, but I do have trouble. And I've spoken to a friend who has the same issue, just to let you know. Thank you.
Yep. Clarifying question, and Vivian, this might help you too. Vivian mentioned watching the board meeting. I just get audio. Is it just my computer, or when you go to the link, do you just get audio of the board meeting? Thank you.
You there, Evelyn?
Evelyn?
Yes, I was wondering if that was a question for me. I'm sorry. Normally I do the audio recording, but I can do both. We can go ahead and put the video as well.
Because I know sometimes the video takes up more space on the website. And when I click in, all I can get is the audio. So thank you.
Well, Evelyn, if you could get us the recordings, because we can put the video on the website. We don't have any space limitations. So we can do that. I dropped those flash drives off to you, too, so we can get the prior meetings. So we get caught up. That'd be good.
Okay, that'd be fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Deb Havens?
Yes, Bev Havens, Building 218. And I would like to comment on a statement you made about security. And you said we had 9 officers, but we only have 8 officers. And I also would like to comment on Sundays in the clubhouse. I have observed personally, that the officers are there for the church service and also for mass on Saturdays. And I feel that this is something that needed to be expressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Concerned resident.
Go ahead, concerned resident. Unmute yourself, please.
Are you talking to me?
Well, that's our Zoom picture here. And if you have a name and a building number, that would be nice. Thank you.
You can't mute me.
No, that's not what we're doing.
That's what you're doing. You've muted me twice already.
We don't do the muting, sorry. Go ahead, concerned resident. We're not in charge of muting, guys.
That's how rumors start. That's how rumors start.
Yeah. Do people know that we can't control the muting? We call on people.
Yeah. When we ask for the Zoom host.
Okay.
Candy.
All right, let's go to Candace.
Thank you. I really appreciate you letting me unmute. Just for Bev's point, the minute she said we had 8, I pulled out my operating budget for 2024. We have 9 full-time security, and we had 9 in 2023 as well as this year. So
yes.
I think we have 9. But my request is for Evelyn, if she's going to post the district Zoom, can she please tell people where on the Heather Gardens website? I just had a heck of a time, and Evelyn had to bail me out and help me once again. So I appreciate her service, but it's you know, maybe people will have a little more trouble, as much trouble as I did. So thank you.
Thank you.
Evelyn, when we bother you again, where can they find the recordings on the HGA website?
I put them under the HGMD board.
Okay.
But I told Candace that what may be easier is if I just have the Zoom recording in a separate folder away from the HGA board, so it's easier to spot.
So we need a separate folder there. But
yes.
On HGMD board archives or resource center?
It's under the everything is under the resource. It always starts with the resource. But we went ahead and revived a folder for Zoom recordings, and that included all the recordings at one point. So I'll go ahead and just continue to add them on there.
Well, we need the recordings at one so we can put them on our website. We're responsible for maintaining those as public records.
Right. After the meeting, I normally send you a Zoom, but I'll be happy to put them on flash drive as well.
Linda Worthy?
Oh, I'm unmuted. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having two meetings a month as necessary just to get information out to the public. And I know that I really enjoy watching the video recording. I'm not glued to it like a TV show, but if I hear somebody that I don't recognize the voice because I attend many of the audio Zoom meetings, that at least I have an idea of putting a name and a face together, which really helps me. I'm really encouraged by so many people being on Zoom, many new names that I've not seen in the past. And also it looks like the boardroom is, there were quite a few people there. My concern is, I think it's, and we're working on this. I know HGA is working on this, but during this time of trying to come up with a compromise, I would really like to see these meetings, whether it be HGA or HGMD, when we're discussing the current atmosphere in our community, for us to have access to the Zoom recordings that we are unable to attend. I know we're working on it, and I know that there's procedures, but I would be hoping that perhaps there's a way to override this particular procedure so that HGA can have an opportunity to voice their comments and concerns, that it can be out to the entire community. Thank you again, and I have huge hopes going forward for HGA.
Thank you. Anybody else?
There's a hand up.
Come on, Sue. Hi.
I'm Sue Macbeth. I'm in building 224, and I'm also a member of the HGA board. At the meeting in January, we had asked that we could move forward. What I've heard today is all of the things going back to 2008 that we can't deal with now. Those are in the past. We can move forward, and I'd like to see us do that. I think we are making some progress there. So I really hope that in our next meeting next week on the 8th, that we can continue that progress. And I think it's doable. We just need to talk to each other. The other thing, just as an aside, Robin.
Yes.
If you go right down to the office.
Yep.
And go in there. You can come in around there by way of a key. I don't have a combination to this door. They don't want a combination here. Anybody coming in here can just walk in there. And they can't be in.
Hold on. I don't know that, Sue, and no one's ever given me a key or a code or even allowed me to go in. I asked for copies in the office, and for a committee was told we don't make copies for HGMD committees. So that's been my experience. I know you're talking about not going in the past, and so I appreciate that, and I will give it a try.
Thank you. And all I did was just ask the first time and go in. And they said, okay, you can go in through this part. And your mailbox is there, so you could get your mailbox.
Thank you.
We were told, by the way, specifically by John Ray, that we were to go to the management office to the window and request what's ever in our mailbox that we not to go in. We have to ask for it. Well, the office closes at 4 p.m. So I have to leave work early if I want to get here to get something out of the mailbox.
Okay.
That's one of the issues.
John Ray is not here anymore.
And,
my name is Tom Seaman. I work at Building 219. One question, follow up to the last speaker. Is that meeting next week on the 8th or the 9th? Because she said the 8th, and I heard that.
It's the 8th.
The joint meeting is February 8th at 3 p.m. I'm assuming the auditorium. And then Mr. Pula just mentioned the building, the meeting of HGA on the 9th.
Okay.
Location TBD, time is 1 o'clock.
All right, two different meetings.
Yes.
In listening to some discussion of contracts, one of the contracts that didn't come up was a contract for paving the maintenance lot. It's something that came up because it appeared in one of the petitions of the petition to recall Reed Affler, basically. And it wasn't in the original petition, but the revised petition basically attributed the death of that contractor, for lack of a better term, attributed that to Rita. So I went into the minutes from some past meetings to look for some history of that. I found on the 18th and 19th of September, the Budget and Finance Committee and the HGA Board approved the contract, but the contract itself doesn't appear anywhere in the packet. So I've never seen the contract, never seen a bid. Don't know what happened to the contract, but it's a $35,000 contract. It was approved in 2 days by those two bodies with no notice to the owners because it didn't appear on any agendas. It was added to their agendas on the dates of those meetings. And I just like to know what the status of spending $35,000 of homeowner money on repaving the maintenance parking lot. Thank you.
I can probably address that. I'm on the Budget and Finance Committee, and there were three bids. Two of them were rejected because they didn't follow the procedures. So there was only one bid that was accepted.
We didn't approve the expenditure. We approved the filling of the potholes, which is what was the issue. There's a few potholes. And so in December, I think it was, we did a motion for HGA to fill the potholes. Last time I looked, they haven't been filled yet.
Just a quick follow-up then. Can you explain what Rita Effler's role was and all that? I mean, it sounds to me like the entire HGMD board made a decision and not just isn't something that Rita did on her own. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It had nothing to do with Rita. It's one of the, and we're, I think we're done. Well, we have two more comments, then we'll close our business meeting, and then we're going to answer those questions that deal with the recall and what the allegations were from the January 27th meeting. So, Bev, you have your hand up again?
Go ahead, Bev.
Well, maybe she didn't take it down.
Okay. We do have 8 security officers and 1 security manager.
Okay.
So we do have the 8 officers.
Even one is 9.
So, Bev, you were saying 8 officers and 1 manager. Is that correct?
That's correct. Who will also be a man and be on duty if an officer is not there at the time or on a emergency call?
There's 9 on the payroll.
Okay, so 9 total on the for that department.
And is going to have up again.
Yeah, it was 9 full-time employees in security, Bev. I'm sorry I didn't delineate specifically for you, but thank you for the correct information. One point that I mentioned at the previous joint meeting of both boards was a request that anytime you have 2 from here and 2 from there and you have a small group meeting, that it please be available as a public meeting on Zoom, because there's so much he said, she said, we didn't, you didn't. That's not true. Yes, it is. And if those small meetings are available for the people of this community who care very much what the outcome of this situation is, let us at least be involved so that maybe we can avoid some of the he said, she said, and we can move forward in a positive way. Thank you.
Concerned resident?
Unmute. There you go.
That's got to be me.
Go ahead. We can
yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just filming now the conversation, and I just got it on screen, and it says the host will not allow me to unmute myself. So somehow or another, I came here under a different name. So I do have that on video that shows that you muted me. Now, I do agree with 2 board members there, Robin, and then the lead person, I don't remember your name, but I do agree with you on one fact, that the office is giving confusing information. I have been in there twice and I have caught them in lies. They tell me one thing and another thing happens. I ask one person, I get one answer. I ask a second person, I get a second answer, a totally different answer. So I guess more of my problems are not so much with the board. It's sounding, it's more like the office. The office is giving bogus information. I get different information from people. If I ask the grounds crew something, I get the same answer every time. So I think we've got a problem in the office as well. They are rude. I go in there calmly, but I come out pissed because they are rude in there. I get 2 different answers for the same question from 2 different people. So I understand you not being able to get a key and whatever other problems you've had with the office. I do understand that, and I'm totally behind you on that. So I think we got a problem in the office as well. Thank you.
I'm going to be popping from out of there.
You can sit down if you need to. You have a mic.
Here. My name is Vicki Hoffman, but I just have a real quick announcement. And that is, if you have Medtronic to navigate the HGA or the HGMD websites to find information, bring your questions and join us for the first meeting of the Voice for Residents of Heather Gardens Club. And we will be meeting this Saturday, February the 3rd, at 3:30 to 5 o'clock. And in that first meeting, we will be having a presentation by Karen Gold on both of the Heather Garden websites, so that if you have questions, if you can't find information, or if there's recommendations that you think we could make to make those websites better, that's what this club is going to be for. And then part of this will be to explore how this organization, pardon me, my hand's shaking. Part of this is exploring how this organization could provide a forum for residents to stay current and informed on issues facing Heather Gardens. And it will be a resident-involved process. Thank you.
back to the Robins and she can repeat it for the Zoom people. I'm not sure.
What room is it in?
The meeting is Saturday, February 4th at 3:30 p.m.
February 3rd, 3:30 p.m.
in the auditorium. Karen Gold will be there to help us navigate the websites of HGA and HGMD. So please join us. It will be residents issues that are brought to the table. Thank you.
Get you next.
He's already spoken. Oh, not the best person on this.
Since you're nearing a close, I think I'd like the opportunity to introduce our new general manager, Larry Herkel.
You want to come up
and say it or something? And welcome.
Hello, thank you. I just want to say I've been here since Monday. I can assure you that I will be kind, respectful, professional, and I would encourage you that if you have any questions, please ask for me. It's always wise. Yeah, a lot of things. Go ahead, make an appointment. I'll get you the schedule, and be happy to service you with whatever you need. If there's any issues with the bar staff, let me know. They will take care of.
And what's your name again?
Larry Herbal. Anybody have any quick questions?
Yes. First question. Will you come to our meeting on Saturday at 3:30?
Again.
You're invited.
Okay. Where's it at?
It's here in the auditorium.
All right, I'll be there. Yes.
I'm Carol Ann Main, Building 217.
Hi.
Hi. I hear a lot of people complain about the way they're treated by the office staff. And I would like to recommend that Heather Garden's employees, especially management, perhaps take some sort of training in dealing with elderly residents. I get complaints from people that they're spoken to condescendingly and they're discounted when they have a concern. So I'd like to recommend that your staff learn how to deal with the elderly.
Thank you. Yes.
Can you give us your website?
Website or email address?
Your email address, that's what I mean.
Yes. And then I've taken up too much time, so I'll stop right here.
No,
it's go
slow.
L-A-R-Y.
L-A-R-Y.
Just one R and Larry, guys. Dot H-E-R.
Dot H.
E-R. K-A-L at Heather Gardens mail.com. Anything else?
We have a question from Candy Simon.
First of all, I just want to welcome Larry. I think that from what I've read, he has an extensive background that will be very, very positive and helpful for Heather Gardens. And just a side note, Evelyn Ibarra is our office manager. I think that's what you are now, Evelyn. But I just want to say she is absolutely the most outstanding office staff that we have. She is helpful. She is patient. She is tolerant. And she's knowledgeable. Excuse me. And I try not to go to her any more often than I have to. But whenever I do, she's always responsive, professional, and does an excellent job. So I just want to make sure I recognize her. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Any other questions? The other thing I just wanted to assure you is that we're going through every facet of our operation, whether it's security, whether it's maintenance, and so forth. One, I have to learn it. Two, we're going to see what we can do to improve everything. And to your point, most of the things are never, ever acceptable. So I can assure you we're going to make best effort to improve our operation. And I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hillary, I'm glad you cleared up your first name with one R. I mean, when I first saw that in print, I thought that must be a typo.
I blame my parents. They blame gosh.
Well, did everybody on Zoom, were you able to hear Larry? Sorry.
Okay. Estelle, you had your hand up?
Yeah.
And another one?
No, she is first.
Oh, over here. Sorry. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if I should be first. I don't know if I should be first because I want to change the subject. Okay. Do you want to talk about
go ahead.
Whatever's been being talked about? Go ahead. Continue the conversation and I'll change the subject in a minute.
Okay.
I really just had a very short comment. I want to emphasize the importance of being at the meeting on February 9th that HGA will have in the auditorium at 1 p.m. I think a lot of accusations were made today, and I think it's going to be a good opportunity to talk about what is the evidence and what is the proof, so we can get more clarification on the issues that have been brought up today. Thanks.
Well, that would be nice, Estelle, because...
Daniel, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Hold on a second. I just had a quick question, Estelle. You said it's in the auditorium, and I heard Mike say he doesn't know yet. So is it confirmed the auditorium?
Yes,
it is. I'm not sure.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And it is HGA.
At 1 o'clock, and it's HGA only. So I guess to respond to our meeting today.
And I don't even listen on the 8th then.
Yes, it will be on Zoom as well.
Yes.
Okay, we'll make sure people have the information and the link. Thank you.
Did last Saturday's Zoom meeting get through?
I know people were not able to get on Zoom last Saturday. I inquired about why, and some people could get on, some people could not. I did auto record it on my phone, but that's all I have. So as far as I know, I don't know if it was even recorded. We'll look into it.
My turn.
Okay, yes, please. Name and building, please.
My name is Pat Nugent. I live in building 221.
Thank you.
I'm also the secretary of the green team. The reason I am here is because I just heard, so there's a lot of hearsay all over the place. Anyway, every year the green team does what we call a shred event for Heather Gardens residents and outside people. It's our biggest fundraiser. To bring paper, to have it shredded, it costs $5 for a couple of boxes of paper. And it's always been held in the Omega Building parking lot. As far as I know, that's where it's always been held. I just heard that the HGMD board wants to send out emails to all of the tennis players, pickleball players, golfers, everybody, and say, please park in the Omega parking lot. So, and staff, please park in the Omega parking lot so that this parking lot is left for residents. This year, May 4th, is our shred event. We have a big truck that comes. We take up the entire parking area. It goes from, I'm going to say we start at, we don't start shredding, but we start at like 7:30 in the morning until about 12:30 or so in the afternoon. And it's a little terrifying to think that there are going to now be a bazillion golfers parked in there. Can you help the green team keep that date of May 4th free so that we can still have our event?
Of course.
Sure.
Of course.
No problem.
And you'll be there before they are, except for golfers, maybe.
Well, yeah. And we always encounter, we always have to smooth a few feathers with some golfers, and we try to leave spaces for them. But the idea that everybody was going to be parking there kind of has sent ripples through the green team of, oh my gosh, what are we going
to
do?
All they had to do was remind us.
Yeah. Have I reminded you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great.
It's on our calendar.
That's all we have to do.
Thank you.
And we'd like to advertise your event, so don't forget to send us stuff so we put it on the HGMV website.
Okay, we'll do.
Our meeting next week. Do you want our folks to do anything to help with this?
I'm sorry, say it again, Larry.
Do you want our people to help in terms of blocking that lot and keeping it free, or are you going to do that yourselves?
We do that ourselves, but maintenance brings us cones, and it's a pretty well-oiled machine at
this
point.
So you've got that covered?
We think so.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Let us know if you don't.
Thank you.
Okay, so are we ready to end our business meeting?
I just have one question for Larry. Was your email address, the end of it, mail.com?
Yes. It's all one word. Heathergardensmail.com.
We do have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So we've adjourned our business meeting. I know at least Craig and I are going to stay and answer questions about the other issues, recall issues. I'm going to address issues that came up at the Saturday's meeting on January 27th.
Daniel, I'm going to go ahead and end the recording since you've adjourned. Is that correct? Or did you?
Zoom on. Evelyn, about how many participants were on Zoom today for my 40, notes?
44.
Thank you, Mr. Craig, to the meeting.
Thank you.